Hello, my beautiful friend. Welcome back to another episode of the Meant to Bloom podcast. This is the personal growth podcast for hot mess moms. This is the show where we talk about real life motherhood struggles, plus simple steps and strategies to take control of your time, drop the mom guilt, strengthen your sanity, and start to unblock your joy. Join me and take the journey from overwhelmed to overjoyed, from hot mess to happy mom. I'm your host, Brittany Clarkson, and I am so glad you're here today, friend. Last week, we talked a lot about self-love being the basis for good mental health and a happy motherhood. Today, I really want to question, what's actually keeping you from a life you love? And long story short, the answer is you. I know it's not always what we want to hear. We want to hear that there's something stopping us from living the life of our dreams. There's something standing in our way that we just can't reconcile, something that we actually have no control over. We want to be victims of our circumstance because it means we don't have to take responsibility and ownership of the fact that we can actually build the life we want. We can actually live our dreams. Yes, as mothers, we can still live our dreams. And oh my gosh, I know it can be tough. It can be hard to hear. And some of you might be wanting to just skip the episode now and go on to the next show. But please don't. Please hang on. It's not difficult to start living your dream life, to start loving your life. It's not difficult. It's continuous work. It's consistency. But it's really not too difficult of work. It's not too complex. What it's going to take is you giving yourself grace and taking the time that you need to heal the parts of you that you need to heal, confront the parts of you that you want to bury deep down and don't want to look at. There is inner work that happens here. And there is self-discipline that will be the result of doing that inner work, which is a really beautiful thing because self-discipline is something that I struggled with a lot of my life. Motivating myself has been very difficult to stay on track, especially when I'm trying to fulfill arbitrary goals that are just what I think I should be doing. When someone says successful motherhood, being a successful stay-at-home mom, what's that look like? What's a successful homesteader or homemaker look like? These are some of the hats I wear. And my idea of success was very much defined by what I saw on Pinterest, what I saw on Instagram, what I had grown up hearing, what I'd seen on TV shows, and it wasn't actually what would make me feel good in those different areas and categories of my life. What actually makes me feel good as a homesteader, it's not being fully self-sufficient. That would be awesome, but that's a lot of hard work and a lot of time commitment that I'm not willing to put into it. So I had to reshape what successful homesteading looks like for me. And it's very low key, very simple. I keep a garden. It's not perfect. It's not beautiful. I don't fully know what I am doing, but it's getting better. And playing in the dirt soothes my soul in just these childlike ways that I had lost. Homesteading for me also looks like keeping chickens. We have not had to buy eggs in over a year. In fact, we sell so many eggs. We only have a dozen chickens. One's a rooster, and two of them are not active layers hardly at all. But they are family pets, and we love them. So we will not be eating them. So we have 12 chickens, probably 8 to 9 that are consistently laying hens. And we get enough eggs from them that it feeds our family eggs that we don't have to buy eggs ever. And we also sold enough eggs to buy one of our kids' big Christmas presents this year. Like, to one guy, we traded eggs for a Nintendo Switch, a used one. So that was really cool. And to me, that is successful homesteading. Like, the chickens pay for themselves. They pay for their own food out of their eggs. And we had enough, like, egg profit to be able to buy one of our biggest Christmas presents that we bought the kids this year. How awesome. That, to me, is successful homesteading. Like, no, we're not fully self-sufficient. I still buy all my vegetables at the store. But it is what it is. And I have fun with it. And I don't allow myself to stress over it. And, you know, it's low key. That's what I define as success. Someone else might want a lot more from their homesteading, you know, lifestyle. I don't. I'm good with that. And then you take that same concept and you apply it to your homemaking, to your, you know, hobby blog or your, you know, at home business, whether you're like into selling MLM or something, like you get to decide what success looks like for you. I get to decide that I have a thriving, successful podcast. There's no metrics out there that say, is your podcast a success? It has to hit these milestones and these metrics, and you have to have this, you know, number of reviews and ratings and statistics. You know, I have 100% positive reviews. I might not have over 100 reviews, but I have 100% positive reviews. The reviews I go and read on my Apple Podcast reviews make me cry. They are so beautiful. Like, some of you have written some just touching words. Like, that right there doesn't matter of anything else. I might not be making, you know, $100,000 a year off of podcasting and selling my online courses and my workbooks and my planners. I might not be. But the positive reviews and the positive feedback I get from you guys, that tells me this is a success, because that's how I choose to, you know, to measure my success, is by the impact I'm making on individual lives instead of the impact I'm making on, you know, my wallet and revenue ceilings and whatever. Like, that stuff's actually kind of really boring. And, you know, making money is actually far less exciting than getting a positive feedback in an email. Like, really, it's priceless. Some of the communications I've shared with you ladies listening, those are priceless to me. That is how I define success in my homesteading, how I define success in my podcast, how I define success in my motherhood. Do I feel like when it comes to motherhood, I am not gauging myself on success based on how many times have I taken the kids to the park? Are my kids' clothes, you know, 100% clean all of the time? No, because they're not. Did I get all three of my kids to take a bath tonight? Nope, absolutely not. But every night when I tuck them in at bed, I know that they know that I love them. They are fed. They are clean enough. They're happy kids. Everything that's in my control is just fine in their life. And some of them need some extra support in some places and things like that. Absolutely. Like, no kid's going to have a perfect experience. No kid's, you know, going to have everything come easy to them. But if you can tuck your kids in at bed at night and know that they love, that you love them, like, to me, that's the highest level of success in motherhood. Like, right now, I mean, my kids are only 4, 5, and 7. It's getting to the point where it's hard to keep track of how old they are. 4, 5, and 7. Absolutely. That's how old they are. I know how old my kids are. 4, 5, and 7. And as of right now, like, none of them ever want to move out of the house. And my goal is to keep them wanting to live as close to me as they comfortably can. Like, I want to nurture independence, of course. I want them to be able to live on their own. But I also don't want them to be in a rush to get away from me, right? Like, to me, that is success in motherhood, is to, like, not have 18 summers and then I'm done. Like, I want these kids hanging out until they are grandparents and, you know, they just don't have time for their parents anymore, you know? Like, I'm in a nursing home and whatever. Like, I want them to want to be around me all of the time for all of their lives, pretty much. That's what I view as success in motherhood. Which means I have to keep distractions from getting in my way, right? And being successful in all these areas, that is the life I love, because these are the areas of my life that I want to, you know, be fulfilled in. Homesteading, homemaking, motherhood, and this podcast. These are the hats I wear. And I guess I should throw in my marriage. I know my husband's not going to listen to this because I asked him not to ever listen to my podcast. But yeah, I'll throw that in there just so you guys know. Like, marriage is absolutely there in the top five. Because if you're not working on your marriage, it's not gonna work, right? We know that. So yeah, I mean, those are the hats I wear. Wife, mom, entrepreneur, homemaker, homesteader. And yeah, homemaking isn't the same as marriage, because my role in the marriage is not to clean the house. That's my role in being a roommate with my husband. You know, we split house chores. That's a roommate thing. Like, you have to remember, when you're married, you're also a roommate to this person. And I think when I could go off on a huge tangent there. When you muddle those roles up and you think that, like, my role as a wife is, you know, having the kitchen clean when my husband gets home. Not really. Not really. Anyways, so I might not be the best roommate. I think that goes down to the lower end of things. That's kind of my homemaker responsibilities, is how I see them. But absolutely, motherhood goes above homemaking, right? Because my relationship with my kids is more important to me than my relationship with my home. My home can be just good enough. Good enough is okay for my home. But I need, like, full fulfillment in my motherhood, in my relationship with my kids. And so the life you love really does, building the life you love, it really kind of depends on building up these pillars of what's important to you and defining what does success look like in these areas, right? For you, what does your success look like? What does your ideal day of supporting all these pillars look like? That is the life that you're going to love. And here's the thing, there's nothing stopping you from having this right now. Okay? These are the things I believe in. These are how I think we can get there, right? So I believe that we do not lose ourselves in motherhood. We lose ourselves in survival mode. We lose ourselves in the day-to-day rush. We lose ourselves in placing our value in the things we do instead of the people we are. We get caught in this trap of survival mode in early motherhood. And when we don't intentionally rebuild our lives again, we tend to get stuck in the cycle of survival. This is where we lose ourselves. Living a life you're in love with means ditching the belief that you belong in survival mode. This is your sign to spread your wings and learn to fly. This is your time to rise above that crap and remember that you are meant to bloom. This is why we're here, right? And here's the steps that I think really, really are going to help you. I mean, so once you define those pillars of your life and you define what success looks like, what would you love your life to look like? That includes these pillars being your focus, right? So you have to establish your core desires and your purpose. This ties in there with those pillars. What is your core desire? Not what is, you know, the illusion of success that the world has sold you, that you've grown up seeing, that you saw on TV, that you hear on podcasts, that you see on Pinterest, that you see on Instagram, that you see across the street at your neighbor's house. Not what is your, like, perceived success? What do you think your goals should be? But what does your soul actually want from you? What kind of life do you actually want to live? Because some people might argue that, like, being a successful, like, homemaker, being a successful housewife, a successful mother means doing a lot of things with a lot of people, like putting on big parties for birthday parties and, you know, hosting block parties because you have to be this perfect suburban wife and all of those types of things. That is not your core desire if you're an introvert, and those completely deplete you. Yeah, you might have fun doing those once in a while, but if they deplete your energy and they, like, crush your soul and you feel like you're just suffocating, doing a lot of those is probably not what's going to fulfill you. You probably want to keep those big parties to a minimum and maybe focus more on intimate gatherings, right? So you have to look at not what idea you've been sold is, you know, success, not what goals has the world told you you should have. Like, everyone wants to lose the last 10 pounds. Everybody wants to exercise more. Everybody wants to, you know, do you actually want that? You know, we just came off of the New Year's high. Everybody's already abandoned their New Year's resolutions and whatnot, pretty much, right? all the New Year's resolutions so much are just this perceived idea of what you think your goal should be, how you think you should be working to get better. Don't get caught up in that when you're starting to think about your core desires and your actual purpose in life, right? And it's okay if you don't know your purpose right now. Your purpose can be this huge, vague idea. Like, my purpose in life is to love more and express my light more. I want to be a being of light and love. Like, that is pretty vague. I don't have to have this perfect, like, oh, my purpose in life is to write a book about this, or my purpose in life is to host the podcast about this. My purpose in life is to, you know, lead this area of church, or, you know, my purpose in life is to be as involved in my kids' lives as possible, and I need to be president of the PTA. Your purpose doesn't have to be something specific, because those kinds of roles and things are always going to change. It's not like you if you decide your purpose is to write a book and then you write the book, then what, right? Your purpose has to be something with longevity, something that's going to go to the grave with you, right? Something you're going to be working on your entire life. And those are your core desires, your goals, are all things that should be in support of that purpose, right? So that's for number one, is establish those core desires, that purpose, those pillars, what success actually looks like. Get that clear vision of what your ideal life really looks like and what you're actually here to do, right? And now after that is getting used to the bare minimum habit. Because my core purpose is not to have a perfectly clean home, I have to get used to the bare minimum when it comes to home care. I do enough to get by. I do enough that my house maintains a, you know, certain level, but my house will never be perfectly clean because I have children living here. And I'm not going to make myself crazy and steal time away from myself and from my family. I'm not going to steal my own joy by stressing about my house not being totally clean all of the time. It's got to take turns, right? And that is sort of the bare minimum habit I've gotten into. And maybe your bare minimum habit is somewhere else. And that's totally fine. You do you. The next thing, though, is gaining an attitude of gratitude. And this is the key to being happy and loving the life you have right now, right where you are, without changing anything else. You change your mindset first, all right? So we set intention. Setting intention is establishing your core goals, your core purpose, your, you know, what's actually important to you, those pillars. Maybe you write a mission statement. That's all your intention. Okay, so you've set your intention and then you let go of your limitations. Get comfortable with what you're actually capable of. Because a lot of times it's not, you know, not even what you're capable of. You're capable of anything. You can do anything. You just can't do everything. It's a capacity issue. You do not have the capacity to do all of the things. And that's okay. None of us do. You've got to alternate. You've got to choose. You've got to prioritize. Decide what's important and go all in on that and go bare minimum on everything else. All right. But gaining an attitude of gratitude. This is getting appreciation for what is already in your life, who is already in your life, where you already are in life. Decide that this is enough. If you did not get more tomorrow, if you did not get more success, more money, more anything, more time, more energy, more, you know, bigger home or a better car, if you didn't get more of anything tomorrow, you decide that this right now is enough. If every day for the rest of your life you maintained exactly where you are in life, this right here, see it as your ceiling, that this is enough right now. Like, this is good enough. Your life is already incredibly blessed if you have the time to sit there and listen to me talk on this podcast. You are already incredibly blessed. Look at you. Look around. Find five things that you're grateful to have in your life. Find five blessings. Get used to looking around and just seeing things that you're blessed with. And let yourself feel appreciation over those. All right. And the last thing you need to do is overcome the fear of changing success. This one, I've done whole episodes on this before, overcoming the fear of success. Change is hard even when it's good change. And becoming successful, it kind of ties back into what I said at the very beginning. It's really scary and uncomfortable to take responsibility for your life. Like, no, it might not be your fault if something in your life sucks right now, but it's your responsibility to make it better. You're in the driver's seat. You get to choose. You get to decide what happens next. All right? You are living a choose your own adventure story. That's what your life is. You get to choose what happens next. I was watching a dumb Netflix show, and they were talking about, because I've been watching a lot of Netflix lately. Like, I've been doing what they call is rotting, where I'm just, you know, numbing out and doing basically nothing for a few days at a time. And that's okay. It's apparently what I needed. I think I went overboard. I think I went 2 days too long. Anyways, we're not here to talk about that. We will eventually, though, I think. I think there's an episode coming up where we're going to chat about that. That is inevitable. But anyways, they were referencing the Butterfly Effect and the Sliding Doors movies, where the idea that something could happen in the past that would alter your entire future. And I think about this concept a lot, actually, like in Back to the Future, you know, the idea of going into the past, and if one little thing had gone differently, it would change the entire course of the future, right? So what if right now is that time? What if you can right now just tap into where you are in the present and decide, my next steps define my entire future? What I do next today is going to have this butterfly effect where it's going to cause this ripple effect in my future. And you get to choose right now what you're going to do. That is so exciting. That is so powerful. Like, there's some good stuff, okay? You get to pick. You get to pick what happens next. You get to choose your future. You're in the driver's seat here. You're the captain. It's a choose your own adventure. And gosh, that's so exciting. It really is. And with that being said, I'm going to go take my next steps right now. Very much feeling a pull to go hug my kids right now and start dinner. So I will leave you with that. I love you so much. Thanks again for listening in. If you could do me a ginormous, huge favor, either leave me a review that makes me cry because it's so beautiful and I have touched you, your heart in such a beautiful way, let me know. Or two, can you share this with a friend? Just copy the link and text it to your bestie right now. Like, or share on social media with all your friends. I always appreciate that. If you do share on social media, if you share on Instagram, can you please tag me at Britt Clarkson or at menttobloom.podcast? Either one, I will see it and I will be forever grateful. Okay. Anyways, friend, I love you so much. Bye.